Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is National Lutheran Schools Week, giving thanks to God for wonderful Christian education across the country, talking with administrators and teachers and students from Lutheran schools all week long, and students in studio today as well here at the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're going to head to Michigan, Oklahoma, and Hamel, Illinois today. Hope you can stick around for all the conversations. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family here on Worldwide KFUO. You can find out more about them on our website in the sponsor section. Just go to kfuo.org and look for the sponsor section there. You'll find the CUW logo for Concordia University, Wisconsin. Joining me by phone now, Mr. Tim Leinberger. He's principal of St. Peter's Lutheran School in Macomb, Michigan. Mr. Leinberger, welcome to Faith and Family.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Glad to have some time to talk with you today and learn about St. Peter's Lutheran School in Macomb, Michigan. Where would we find Macomb, Michigan?
Well, if you were looking at a map, and the common joke that Michiganders make is we look just like a mitten. We would be on the thumb side, 26 miles north of downtown Detroit.
Very good. So outside of the Detroit area, and how long has St. Peter's Lutheran School been serving the community there?
It has been there quite a long time. I know we are celebrating an anniversary soon. I don't know exactly for sure, but I want to tell you it's a neighborhood of about 100 years.
Very good. Well, thanks be to God.
Yeah, we've been around a long time.
And what do you love about St. Peter's Lutheran School that makes it unique, that sets it apart from other schools in your community?
Well, I've had the opportunity. I've taught in other Lutheran schools from South Florida in St. Louis area, and now currently I moved here in July. And what I've already noticed is that the family relationships that St. Peter has, they're deep-rooted, and St. Peter means something to people in this community, and they care about it. They're genuine about their love for St. Peter and their care, and they want that to grow, and they want that for their students, their children, as well. And so it's very unique, and it's a very good place to be.
Well, very good. Glad to hear that that God provides for Christian education there at St. Peter's Lutheran School. What led to your interest to serve in this vocation as a Christian educator, a Lutheran educator?
I probably, like most, my father was a Lutheran educator. We grew up in Lutheran education. I went to Peace in Shelby Township, which isn't very far from where I currently serve. I attended Lutheran High School North in Macomb, and then went to Concordia River Forest for undergraduate, and Concordia, Wisconsin for my master's class. So I don't really know anything other than Lutheran school. And I'm proud of that. I grew up with all of those, and I always, I think, like most said, that's not something I want to do. I don't want to do. And the next thing I knew, I was taking classes to do that. So it's been a journey. And sometimes when we try and plan things out and think we have the answers, God's got other options and other ideas for us. And, you know, when you start thinking, I never honestly thought I would end up back in Michigan. We were in South Florida, Delray Beach, and we kind of had it going the way we thought we needed it going. My wife was a seventh grade teacher. All three of my girls attended. And we got a phone call to seek interest to see what I would think about moving to Macomb, Michigan. And, I, you know, we just stopped kind of asking why. We just kind of let the Lord lead the process. And when it came down to it, my wife and I just kind of said, I think this is what we need to do. And, you know, and we both knew, we're used to teaching each other, but now she teaches seventh grade at St. John in Rochester, and we're thrilled about that. And she loves what she does, but it's different. And we know the Lord's in charge, and we just do what he's asked us to do and trust that he's got a plan. And we're happy with that. We're excited to be here, and we enjoy it.
Why, you mentioned that Lutheran education has been the education that you've grown up in, that you've experienced, and you would have it no other way. What is it about Lutheran education that is so unique and that is so valuable that has shaped your life in the way that it is?
Well, it's unique in that we have the option to talk about how the Lord fits into these students' lives. I mean, the reality of what we deal with right now is that some of our students, the best hours of the day that they have is when they're with us. And we used to, I think, and I say back in the day, I don't say that lightly, you had parental support and you had a church support and it was more family. But as our society has changed and grown and become more about the me world, we become the only connection that tells them that there are bigger things in life and focus on the Lord and trust in his plan for what you have to do. And that other schools don't get that opportunity. If you're a charter school or a public school, you're told what to do and what to say. And we have that freedom to guide their path, to you know, allow them to make mistakes, because that's what kids are going to do. That's part of the process. And we have the ability to guide them through that, letting them know that mistakes happen, but the Lord is there. There's forgiveness involved, and we're going to grow from this. And that's the fun part of it is, you know, you deal with them. And it's, as I walk through the halls now of my school, I run into former classmates. And I remember things that had happened when we were in school. And now to kind of watch their kids and our kids go through it, you kind of, it becomes a little bit full circle for me. And I think the longer I do it, the more fun it becomes. And yeah, there are headaches that come with that. But ultimately, when you're in a Lutheran school, it's Christ-centered. And it's Christ-focused. And we try and make that academically challenged. But the ultimate goal is to be Christ-like. And in this world, that's hard to do. And so working them through that process is what makes us unique.
How are students prepared? How are they equipped when they finish their education at St. Peter's Lutheran School?
Well, like I said, I think it's twofold. And I think that's, again, what makes us unique is academically, we want them ready. You know, we want them to be able to function at a ninth grade level, not just entering ninth grade. And as I learn about St. Peter, the more I'm there, and I just started August 1, but the ultimate goal is, you know, you want them more than ready. You want things to be a little easy. You want them prepared. You want them to speak legibly and focused. You want them to be able to write that same way. You want them to be able to class where things get tough, and they respond in a way where they understand it and they take that on as a challenge. You try and prepare them that way. Of course, spiritually, when you get to high school, more social pressures are involved. And you want to create that foundation for them that things are going to come your way and you need to know how to adjust and you need to know how to respond. And again, that doesn't always mean it's perfect, but you create that foundation for them that when they leave, they are young Christian men and women grounded in the Word.
What does a typical day look like at St. Peter's? Who do the students interact with throughout the day?
Well, I can use my daughter, my fifth grade daughter, as an example. We kind of gather. Our school starts about 8:10. We gather in what we call our crossroads. And it's just a time where before the bell rings, everybody kind of gets together. Now, on a fun day, when we have a Friday, our PTO will bring coffee and bagels in. And it's a pretty festive little environment, and it's calm, but it's social, and it's kind of fun. And the bell will ring at 8:10. And then throughout the day, they will switch between their two fifth grades from subject area to subject area, incorporating a PE, an art, a Spanish. There's music in there. There's handbells in there for them. And the day ends around 3, and then there are practices, whether it be basketball or volleyball or track coming up here in the spring. And it turns into, even though she's a fifth grader, it's complicated, and there's things that she has to keep on track, you know, on top of schedule-wise so that she's prepared. And again, she's only a fifth grader. When it gets to middle school, you switch more often. It becomes more complicated. Academics are a little harder. Basketball, you know, sports become a little harder. So it is. It's challenging to manage the day-to-day. It's busy, but it's not hectic busy, if that makes any sense.
Sure. So that then prepares them for life after after school.
Absolutely, because when they get to high school, that's all switching, and it's all time management, and it's managing all of those things that play into a role where when they're younger grades, parents are much more involved in that process. The older they get, the less involved we become, and they begin to take that responsibility themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that is part of the process, as they work through our group. By the time they're eighth graders, a lot of it's expected of them. Are the parents involved? Yeah. But when they get to ninth grade, they have to be ready for those things.
Is there anyone, with just about a minute left, anyone you want to say thanks to for the education that happens at St. Peter's Lutheran School in Macomb, Michigan?
Anybody that I would like to thank for getting to this point?
Well, for all that happens, for the ministry and the education that happens at St. Peter's Lutheran School.
Well, I think one of the key components of that is it's got to be our senior pastor, who I understand you are, you know him, Pastor Ken Wagner, is our senior pastor and has been supportive. We had made a move a couple times, for sure, but this was challenging. Our kids were a little older, and we're getting older and not as mobile, and he has been supportive, and the parents have been very supportive. Our school board has been very supportive and working through the process of just figuring out who we are and what we want to be and how that's going to flow. And so there's a lot of great people. I could probably take up another segment of your time, but it has been, for moving 1,000 miles, it's been as smooth as it's going to be. And there's a lot of people that play a role in that. My parents have been there, that we live close to them now, so that's exciting for them. They're a part of the plan. And more babysitting roles. So there's just a lot of great people involved, and we're thankful for all of them.
Well, very good. Tim Leinberger of St. Peter's Lutheran School in Macomb, Michigan, thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
God's blessings on your ministry there at St. Peter's Lutheran School. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to head to Oklahoma. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
We know the mainstream media is adamantly biased against pro-lifers and conservatives, but recently we witnessed an example beyond the pale. Alexander Nazarian, a Newsweek reporter, couldn't contain his hatred for presidential candidate Ted Cruz. He tweeted an appalling comment that read, "Ted Cruz has a strong ground game in Iowa," and posted a picture of Nazi sympathizers with swastika flags. After tons of outrage, Nazarian deleted the original tweet and posted another that read, "I dislike the man." I believe this is just the tip of the iceberg. The media is teeming with people with the ethics of cockroaches. With the internet, we're now running circles around this biased media that's dying and decaying. I say good riddance.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is National Lutheran Schools Week. We're talking with great schools all week long, and principals, teachers, students. And today we're going to Oklahoma. We're going to Ponca City, Oklahoma. First Lutheran Church and School. And the principal there is David Birnbaum. Mr. Birnbaum, welcome to Faith and Family.
Good morning, Andy.
Glad to have you with us today and looking forward to learning about First Lutheran Church and School in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Tell us about where would we find Ponca City?
Ponca City is right up I-35. It's 15 miles off of I-35 to the east, just south of the Kansas border.
Very good. Well, tell us a little bit about First Lutheran Church and School. How long has this school been in existence there?
The school is on its 64th year.
Wow.
And the church just celebrated its 90th anniversary last year.
Well, that's certainly something to celebrate and give thanks to God for. What is unique about First Lutheran School there in Ponca City that sets it apart from other schools in the community?
First Lutheran School has wonderful, loving families, school kids, and the church is such a strong supporter of the school. The congregations from the Ponca City also send so many of their kids to our school. It's an amazing group of people to work with.
Well, that's great. That's great to have that support and to have a Lutheran school in the community. What does a typical day look like for students at First Lutheran? Who do they interact with? What do they learn throughout their day?
They start off with religion class in each of the classrooms and devotions and prayer time, and then they go into different subjects based on math reading through all the core subjects in the morning, and then we have the electives and extracurricular activities in the afternoon from PE and art and music and band, and basketball is a big thing around here, especially at this time of the year.
So students have an opportunity for extracurricular activities as well.
Oh, they do. Yes, 7th and 8th grade already has cheer, and 5th through 8th grade has basketball and band, and kindergarten through 12th, we're starting a chess club for the whole community of Ponca City starting next week. They have math counts and honor band and academic bowls and track meets, and we do a fellowship of Christian athletes for our middle school, but it doesn't just have to be the athletes. We invite all the middle school kids to join us. In fact, they're working on looking at doing a project for the police and fire departments in our area.
So serving in the community as well.
Oh, yes. We have a food bank that is served out of our church. And so for chapel offerings, the kids will bring canned goods. In fact, early childhood is celebrating their 100 days of school, and so they each brought cans to be used in our food bank. And then we have a group of church members that do peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every Wednesday morning to give out at a local food bank also.
That's great. What do you think students learn from those opportunities to serve?
They know that God is involved in every part of their life. It's not just a school day. It's not just a Sunday morning worship service. They need to be in the Word, and they need to be involved with their community and help out individuals throughout their life, and not just not what the teachers tell them they have to do, but things that they want to do.
Do the students interact with, with different ages of students within the school?
We love our chapel families. What we have is 24 eighth graders, and then they take and pick different 7th graders, 6th graders, 5th graders, all the way down to our 3-year-olds, and have different groups come together, and they sit together as a chapel family on Wednesday. And in fact, for Lutheran Schools Week, we're doing the Spring Olympics, and so they're going to be each choose a different country, and they will learn about their country and their flag. They can't choose the United States because we're the host country, and then they'll do different events during that week. We're doing rhythmic dance and tricycle relays and regular relays, and then volleyball teams made of those 8th graders. So the families get together. It's awesome to see each other throughout the day, especially at the basketball court. The kids, little kids will come watch their big kids playing, and they get all excited to see their chapel parents playing out there.
How are students, as they grow in their education, as they learn there at First Lutheran, how are they prepared for the next chapter? Where do the students go on to after First Lutheran, and how well are they equipped for those next chapters?
We have a public high school, the only public high school here in Ponca City, right across the street from us. And so our kids, most of them will go straight over there, and we're very proud of our students over there. We have the student council last year were all of our graduates. So it's a 1,500-student body at the high school, and yet our Lutheran ones are the ones that are leading their student council. Our valedictorian was the valedictorian of the high school was one of our graduates last year also. And so it's the public school actually has a very good working relationship with us, and we're able to use their track and whatever sports we don't offer here, our middle school students are allowed to go participate in their golf and tennis and different activities there. They help us with special ed services and speech. So it's an amazing working relationship between the public schools and our Lutheran school.
Hmm, that's great. And so throughout a typical day there, the students really learn a lot academically. They have chapel time in their time there that they learn about God's word. What are other times throughout the day where they hear God's word or study God's word, learn about the good gifts of God?
It's just incorporated throughout the day. When the kid falls down, the teachers, the workers, the staff are there to help them up, and they show them their love and share their love. And praying throughout the day, something happens, or they know that they can always come to their teachers and talk to them about what's going on in their life. And so we're in all of God is shared throughout the day in everything that they do. They know the love is there for them from their parents, from their school, from their teachers, from the community of congregational believers here.
Who makes up that community there at First Lutheran? Obviously, you have students and teachers, but really, who shapes the education that happens throughout the day?
It's shaped by God. God works through so many of our workers. We have volunteers that come and read with the kids. We have volunteers who fix things around the property. We have volunteers that work with our kids on the playground, to play with our kids and supervise them there. So the parents, the volunteers, the teachers, they all work together, and even the children help to shape each other's lives and share the love of Christ with each other.
How are those, what is the relationship with parents like? How important is that relationship between school and parents at First Lutheran?
I've been teaching for 26 years now, and the parents are very involved and very loving and very caring about what goes on for their school, for their students, for their kids here. They work with the teachers, and the teachers will respond so positively with the parents. And it's an amazing working relationship that they have here. They care so much for their kids and want the best for them, and so they'll do whatever they need to help. And the congregation just helps financially, too, to help make sure the school is there for the community and for their kids and to build each other up.
What led you to consider this vocation in Lutheran education?
I was born and raised in a good Lutheran community in Giddings, Texas, and went to Lutheran school through eighth grade and had wonderful teachers that would just always ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I always said I wanted to be a Lutheran teacher or pastor. And as I got to my junior year, I decided, you know, I better start looking at what Lutheran school I'm going to go to. So I found Concordia Austin and went there for my bachelor's degree, and later got my master's degree from Concordia Seward, and just knew that I loved children, and God was leading me that direction for all these years.
Well, thanks be to God that he's brought you there to St. Paul, or to First Lutheran Church and School in Ponca City. Is there anyone you'd like to thank for making for allowing the education, the ministry to happen there at First Lutheran?
Oh, we have so many people to praise God for. We praise God for you, KFU and KFUO, and I praise God for the amazing staff and faculty, our growing student body and families, and the wonderful congregational members, both in our own Lutheran church and the other congregations in Ponca City. First Lutheran Church and School is an amazing place to raise children.
Wonderful. Well, thanks be to God for the ministry there at First Lutheran School. I have enjoyed our conversation and would love to be able to share more with our listeners about First Lutheran. How can they find out more?
They can go to our website at www.flcspc.com, which stands for First Lutheran Church School, Ponca City.com.
flcspc.com. Well, thank you very much for being our guest today, Mr. David Birnbaum, principal at First Lutheran Church and School in Ponca City, Oklahoma.
Thank you, Andy.
God's blessings on your ministry there and all the great education that happens there. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk with students and faculty in studio here from St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Hamel, Illinois. Hope you can join us for that and more, all on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Trust Worldwide KFUO for sacred music of the church every night of the year. Weeknights after evening prayer, you can hear sacred music on KFUO in St. Louis, streaming online at kfuo.org. You can hear the difference with our online stream in high-quality stereo, whether you listen on your smartphone, Wi-Fi radio, or laptop, as well as your business or home computers. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, trusted for more than 90 years.
There are a lot of short-lived songs about love in this world, but songs about the deeper beauty of love divine seem to be more enduring. We'll hear such love songs on the next Sing for Joy. Join us.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, this is President Matthew Harrison. It's with a thankful heart that I share my gratitude to all of you who so faithfully serve the Lord as volunteers within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We are so blessed by your generous and gifted spirit, and we are uplifted by your volunteer service to make known the love of Christ. May God bless and fortify you in your service. May your service bring you joy.
Worldwide KFUO, your most trusted radio station for Christian talk and sacred music. Listen on the air, online, and on demand 24 hours a day at KFUO.org. Listen anywhere you are with your Wi-Fi radios, smartphones, computers, and even on your smart TVs. KFUO embracing today's technologies to bring the good news message of Christ to the world. Listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Thousands of years ago, a story began.
I am who I am.
The story that will never end, because this is the story of God's love for us.
He has risen!
He is alive!
Welcome to the Lamplighter Classic Audio Series. You are there. Now, you can enjoy this Lamplighter Classic, You Are There, together as a family.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and the Chancellor of LCMSU, inviting you to join us right here on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. in the Student Union. If you can't make it, Student Union is always available as a podcast at kfuo.org. Learn more about LCMSU at lcmsu.org. And remember, college is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help.
The Student Union is underwritten by Lutheran High School Association.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO, a radio station where you can find the clear biblical understanding of Christianity proclaimed daily in both word and song. Our talk programs can be heard live or on demand at your convenience anytime worldwide. The KFUO talk programs proclaim the true word of God, focused on salvation through Christ and Scripture alone. You've discovered KFUO.org, the messenger of good news.
Who are KFUO Day sponsors? They're people like you. They're listeners who appreciate and support the Lord's work in broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ every day. For more information on becoming a KFUO Day sponsor, contact Mary Schmidt at 314-996-1518 or Joni Harwell at 314-996-1512 or email us to find out more at gifts@kfuo.org. Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates, and it is a great day. It's a great week, National Lutheran Schools Week, and I love to have students in studio. We have so much fun and have students from St. Paul in Hamel, Illinois. Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson joining us in studio. Deaconess Fredrickson, principal at St. Paul. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Did I get it's St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Hamel, Illinois, right?
Correct.
Very good. Well, so glad to have you back. This is your second year here. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
At the International Center for National Lutheran Schools Week and here in the studio and brought students with you today. Let's see, who do we have up first? Is this Abigail?
Yes.
Hi, Abigail. Glad to have you here today. Abigail, what grade are you in?
I'm in fourth grade.
Wonderful. Wonderful. We're going to talk about what you love about fourth grade here in just a little bit. And up next, is this Olivia?
Yes.
Hi, Olivia. What grade are you in?
I'm in sixth grade.
Sixth grade. Aha. So you're a little bit older than, a little bit, two grades ahead of Abigail. And who do we have over here?
Riker.
Riker. So glad to have you here. What grade are you in, Riker?
I'm in fifth grade.
Fifth grade. So fourth, fifth, and sixth grade all here today. Wonderful. And Deaconess Fredrickson is here. What yes. grade are you in?
They don't have a name for that.
you get to teach several grades, though, right?
Yes. I teach all grades sometimes throughout the day.
Wonderful. Well, where would we find, for our listeners not familiar with Hamel, Illinois, Deaconess Fredrickson, where would we find Hamel, Illinois?
It's about 30, 35 miles northeast of St. Louis mm-hmm. on I-55. The church is right on the expressway. Many people know us because we have the neon cross on the top that was put back there during World War II by some of the mothers.
Wow. Yeah, it's a landmark. I remember passing it during many of my trips to Concordia University in Chicago, mm-hmm. River Forest, Illinois. I remember that landmark from many of those trips, absolutely. Well, the St. Paul Lutheran School has been around for a while, but yet new, correct?
Correct, right. We had a restart 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It had been part of an association, and for financial reasons, the association broke apart, and St. Paul's had had a church for 150-some years, and they chose to immediately restart, and we did that without missing a beat, went right on, started mm-hmm. a new school.
And how many students do you have at St. Paul today?
In kindergarten to eighth grade, we have 24, and we moved our pre-kindergarten, mm-hmm. which had been at a daycare, which is a little ways away, is now in as part of our school, and we have 12 pre-kindergartners.
Wonderful. Glad to hear that. Well, I would love to hear from our students today about your education at St. Paul and what you learn on a regular day at St. Paul and your favorite things there as well. What is, Riker, what is your favorite subject or favorite time of day at school?
I'd say art class.
Art class. What are you doing presently in your art class? What are you working on?
Well, we're working on making pictures on like graph paper.
Pictures on graph paper. Very good. Do you get to use different colors?
We don't really. Yeah, somewhat.
Somewhat. So what are you working on in your picture? Do you have a particular theme or something about your picture that you like?
No.
All right. Let's go to Olivia. What's your favorite subject or favorite time of day at school?
I like history or classical writing.
History or classical writing. Two subjects. Is
yeah.
that right? What do you like about history?
I love the reading part of it, and then I love learning about what all the different things that happened a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you enjoy classical writing as well?
Yeah, I like it because I just love to write.
And Abigail, tell me about your favorite subject or favorite time of day at school.
My favorite subject is literature.
And what are you presently reading in literature? Do you remember?
The Merry Adventures of Robin Hood.
Aha, that sounds fun. Do you like adventure and fantasy in literature?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite that you've read so far?
Catherine Called Birdie.
Very good. Very good. Well, Deaconess Fredrickson, what does a typical day look like for students at St. Paul? What do you begin with?
We begin with chapel every morning. Mm-hmm. We do matins 2 days a week. We do responsive prayer 2 days a week. And we do divine service every Wednesday morning. The students then return to their... And we worship together, pre-kindergarten all the way up to the older grades. And then after that, they return to their classroom. And we're broken into kindergarten, and then there's first to third grade and fourth to eighth grade in general, because some of the students switch classrooms. Mm-hmm. And the morning is pretty much the academics of literature and grammar and spelling. 2 days a week, our pastors come into the classroom and do catechism class. And so then they also have PE every morning. They also have math in the morning. And then after PE, we have lunch, and then we do Bible study all together, first to up through seventh grade is all together. And after that, then they break into various things. 2 days a week, they have violin lessons in the afternoon. They have art one afternoon, and they also have Latin and science and history. It's various, mm-hmm. By the room and by the grade.
Now, as I understand it, St. Paul uses a classical model. What does that mean as a classical school?
What that means is it's teaching students the way we learn. And what I mean by that is it's not a new method. It's not a fad. It's been around for 2,000 years. And it's based on teaching the students the way they learn. So if the first step to any learning, even at our older age, is to, you get something new, it's kind of the grammar stage. You look at it, how do I turn this on? What, mm-hmm. What are these buttons? Where are these wires? What do I do? How do I get this to operate? And then once you learn that, then you start doing whatever the process is, and that would be called logic stage. And then once you got your new gadget, you would then start putting it and applying it and using it in your life. So for the students, the lower grades, up to about third grade, is very heavy with memorization. They're building their file cabinets, so they memorize history dates and those types of things. And then the logic stage is learning the information that fills the file cabinet. And then rhetoric is putting it all together, being able to use those facts to then write and defend things, and more speaking and writing at that age.
So who in here has a full file cabinet?
None of us.
None of us. No. That's right. We all have lots to learn.
Right. Even as an adult, I am learning more teaching the students than...
What is your favorite... Your favorite subject to study and to teach, Deaconess Fredrickson?
My favorite is doing the daily Bible study, mm-hmm. Because it's God's Word, and mm-hmm. it's just, once again, I keep learning more and more and more every time I read it, and the students ask fabulous questions. They keep me on my toes, and it's just good to teach the faith. Secular-wise, I love teaching math, probably. I love teaching literature, but I have someone that teaches my literature for me at our school.
Now, if I recall correctly, you mentioned earlier that Bible study is first through seventh grade altogether. I'm sure some might ask, how do you teach first through seventh graders all together in one Bible study? How do you approach that?
We read. I don't worry about it. We read God's Word, and our students, they just learn. I mean, they really do. God's Word is efficacious and it's effective. And our younger students sit with older students. And so they help the younger students find their places in the Bible where they're at. And once they can read and follow along in their buddy's Bible, then they get their own Bible. And there's question and exchange mm-hmm. type of thing. And so I don't really do anything out of the ordinary for the various ages. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're included in when we ask questions, and they answer questions. So they're obviously learning, with that style. So I really don't do anything out of the ordinary.
Sure, sure. Well, let's hear about your buddies. You have buddies for Bible study. Who do you sit with, Wrecker?
Wyatt Gigner.
All right. And Olivia, who do you sit with?
Aubrey Geckner.
And Abigail, who do you sit with?
Peter Curtis.
So you all have buddies for Bible study. And that's been for this year. Have you had the same buddy before, or is this the first year you've been with those buddies? First year this time around?
First year.
What have you learned anything by being a buddy and sitting with them through Bible study? Have you learned anything, Riker?
Sort of.
How about you, Olivia?
I learned, I actually followed along more than what I would usually just follow along, so.
Why do you think that's the case?
Probably because I know that she needs to be following along, and so I need to follow along to set a good example for her. And so I think, yeah.
Abigail, how about you? Have you learned anything as you serve as a buddy for your younger friend in Bible study?
Kind of.
Kind of.
These Bible buddies are also their chapel partner. And so in church, they're also holding the hymnal, mm-hmm. and making sure they're on wherever the right page, when they're in the hymn, they're at the right hymn. That's why we have them point, because then we know where they are. And so if they look lost or their fingers in the wrong place, you know right away.
Do you think, is that beneficial to both students? How does that serve them to the younger child and the older child? I think that it does, but I'd like to hear your perspective on how that benefits them, not only in the classroom, but in the congregation and in their vocations, their many vocations.
Well, I think they could answer. I know they form friendships.
Uh-huh.
They have been doing this. When they said this is the first year, we switch out periodically throughout the year.
So I see.
Of them have had the same chapel person all year. Some have switched. So some of them are new to the person they have. But I just know by experience that these are long-term friendships. They grew mm-hmm. up together, and they talk to each other special, and I see them hand-holding. Like today, one was holding another person's hand on the bus because one of them was a little bit afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just get those little things that are just special.
Sure.
I don't think they sometimes even realize what they're doing with their friend, their younger friend.
Do you think that Abigail, do you think your friendship with your buddy helps them learn and helps them feel comfortable at school?
Yes, I do.
What do you think, Olivia?
Definitely.
Riker, do you think that your friendship with your buddy helps them do well in school?
Yes.
I think so, too. I think that having an older friend at school helps them feel comfortable and do well in school. And they know that they have a friend outside of school, too, I bet. Why did your family choose St. Paul Lutheran School for you? Do you know why? Any ideas? Riker?
Because they wanted me to go to a Christian school.
Mm-hmm. They wanted you to go to a Christian school?
Because my mom loves the classical education, and then she loves being Lutheran.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, my family wanted me to go there because it's a Lutheran school, and Mom and Dad really want me to be a Lutheran.
So having a Lutheran school is important to having a Christian school is important to your parents, that you hear the Word of God throughout the day, that you get to study the Word of God, and that you get to learn all these other important things as well, the arts. Who is playing violin? Who is learning violin?
Ooh. Everybody but the Curtis family, except for the youngest Curtis.
The youngest ones. Do you enjoy violin? Do you, Olivia says yes.
I actually play cello, so.
You play cello?
Yeah.
Wow. A little bit bigger.
A little bit.
Abigail, do you play strings?
Yes, I do.
Do you play violin, cello? What do you play?
I play a violin.
Do you enjoy it?
Yes, I do. Good. I actually had a teacher before this.
Oh, so you learned violin before you came to St. Paul. Why strings? Why violin, Deaconess Fredrickson?
It teaches the basics of music. It's actual musical content type mm-hmm. thing. It's also very good for the brain. Mm-hmm. And they have proven that the violin is one where you play, and it helps with math scores. I mean, there's even studies on that. I also know that from previous experience that playing violin also helps students sing better. Part of that is because they're tuning their instruments, and they can apply that then to mm-hmm. to actually being able then to sing on pitch. And it's just it has. I have to talk to a real musical person as to the reasons, but I just know there's lots of literature on the way the counting and the way mm-hmm. the with the strings. I think Olivia could probably tell you a lot more because she has been playing for several years and has a very musical family. So, do you have something to add, Olivia, as to why is it good for you? What do you get out of strings?
I get out of just being able to. Under my fingers they work so much better, and I can it's great. I don't know what to say.
I think we might call that dexterity. Being able to use your fingers very quickly.
Yes. Yes.
Very good. What is what's one of your favorite pieces that you've learned? One of the favorite pieces you've enjoyed playing? Olivia?
Probably When All the World Was Cursed.
Very good. What did you play? Did you play for chapel this morning? Did you have a chance to play strings this morning? What did you play? Do you remember, Riker?
We played a wide selection.
A wide selection? Abigail, what's your favorite piece to play?
Probably Joy to the World.
I like that, too. A nice Christmas hymn, right?
Yeah.
But we didn't play that this morning.
Not this morning?
No.
I think we could still play Christmas music, right?
Yes. Yes.
Do you have friends at other schools? Do you have friends who attend other schools? And if so, how do you think your school might be different from theirs? What do you think? What do you think, Abigail?
Well, I do have one friend who does attend a different school. She's just not as smart, I guess, as I am in classical school.
Olivia, do you have friends at other schools, and how might your school be different?
Well, I think that we are a little bit better controlled, if you know what I mean.
You feel like your classroom is more organized and civilized?
Yes, yes.
Riker, do you have friends at other schools?
Not much friends, but I have an older brother who goes to a different school. Mm-hmm.
How do you think your school might be different from other schools?
A lot of other schools they don't teach about God, or they don't teach cursive. They just, mm-hmm. and they tell you can write however you want.
so you think cursive is important and the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
I think certainly the word of God is important, and it's handy to, it's certainly helpful to know how to write in cursive as well. Well, very clearly from the students what they love and what's important about the school. And the Word of God is certainly important and at the heart of the education. It's very clear in what you do there at St. Paul. What as the students finish their education at St. Paul, what are they prepared for after that? In the next chapter, the next school perhaps that they'll go on. How well are they equipped? What are they prepared for?
They are prepared to meet whatever challenge comes. They will read well when they leave our school. They will have a good background of information, whether because we teach history as opposed to, you know, social studies, they will have a solid basic education upon whatever they may face. Mm-hmm. We teach art skills as opposed to doing more craft type art things. And in their literature, they're going to be well read. So, you know, when they whatever they read from here on out, they just have a good basis of which to go back to. We mm-hmm. teach grammar, so they will do well in any of their writing. We teach writing, and so they have solid basic skills. Their Latin will help them in figuring out anything they read, especially mm-hmm. if they move into higher science. Because so many scientific words have Latin roots. And so they are, I think we are, I know we're giving them just a solid foundation upon which to go on into high school. Our students already, for example, are reading Shakespeare and Canterbury Tales and things like that. So even though they're reading them now as an elementary student, when they get to high school, they may reread some of those things. Mm-hmm. But it's always better the second time around. And so that's something we do give them.
Sure. I can imagine reading something as a child and then reading it again later in life.
Right.
And it's a whole new story almost.
Right.
as you experience it again and realize there were things that you didn't catch
right.
the first time,
right.
that you didn't comprehend the first time you read it. But that's okay.
Right.
Having read it that first time built that foundation on
right.
which to build and grow in the future.
And they won't be afraid. So, you know, for example, Shakespeare, you know, the first time you face Shakespeare, it's pretty daunting, you know. It's mm-hmm. just like, wow. So when they get to high school, they at least will understand how, you know, I mean, and our literature teaches them, teacher teaches them a very good foundation, you know, background on the authors. And so when they get to high school, you know, maybe a new Shakespeare story, but they've at least had that experience and know how to read Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm. Well equipped for high school.
Right.
Now, do we have any students going into eighth grade? What's the highest level at St. Paul?
A seventh grader this
year. Seventh grader
right.
this year. But
yes.
Perhaps an eighth grader.
She will be an eighth grader next year, hopefully. Yes.
So you have an eighth grader. Okay. And then a graduation?
Oh, yes. Yes, right.
Something to celebrate.
Yes.
Who are the people that shape the day? You mentioned this earlier. There are, I'm sure, many people involved in the education. You mentioned pastors involved and another teacher teaching literature. What about the role of parents in education at St. Paul?
They play a strong role in making sure there are students doing their assignments at home,
mm-hmm.
And they support us. We need them for the support
mm-hmm.
Behind the school. Our parents and congregation are our greatest supporters. If you are a member of St. Paul's, tuition is free. And so, I mean, this is a church that all the members, mm-hmm. parents, friends of the school, they just strongly believe in what we're doing.
With just a few seconds left, anyone you'd like to say thank you to as we wrap up our conversation about St. Paul? Anyone you'd like to thank for the ministry and the education that's happening there at St. Paul?
I just want to thank the congregation. They're just tremendous, every one of them.
Wonderful. Well, Deaconess Fredrickson, principal at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamlet, Illinois, thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you.
And Abigail, thanks for being my guest today.
Thank you.
Olivia, thanks for being my guest today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And Riker, thanks for being my guest today. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word with Pastor Whedon here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.